Hot dog on a stick. Ritz camera. The local movie theater. Summer jobs have always been a part of life. And then you go to college, get a degree, move on to a career. But that's not always the case. Yash Manlot has never had a job. And he's 43 years old.
So, this house was built in 1972, and I became the owner of it in 1989, after my mother passed away. And as you can see, the porch wraps around the entire house, and I spend my mornings on the eastern side, and I work my way to the western side in the evening.
Okay, Yash. So... You have always been able to support yourself because you have never had to worry about rent or mortgage?
No, the house is completely in my name. The land is completely in my name. I grow my own food. I have a water filter that filters my baths for me.
And I see that you, for food, you have a, you have just a pot of tomatoes and a single chicken. You just eat a lot of tomato omelets?
A lot of tomato omelets and a lot of chicken tomato skewers. They're my favorite food, so I don't understand why I should change or change for anything.
So you've had other chickens in the past. You just currently have one?
I currently have one chicken because it's the only chicken I own, so I'm not going to go around.
Because you ate the other chickens?
Last chicken.
Yes?
Last chicken I ate was... Yash. I'm sorry, very emotional.
Yash, are you okay?
Last chicken I ate was in 2006, just after the war in Iraq.
I was over at his house, and we were talking about the war in Iraq.
This is Yash's dentist, Dr. Kaplan.
And he said, this is an emotional time, we should do something emotional. And at that point, he had two chickens. Which
oh my gosh, doctor, are you okay?
Oh God.
You're so emotional.
It's just, these chickens were like, they were friends to us, you know, and to each other. And we thought about how the Iraq war had torn apart our country, and we felt symbolically that we needed to tear those chickens apart.
Now, Dr. Kaplan, is this how Yash paid you for your services rendered?
Well, the community has really taken Yash under our wing, you know? Because
chickens, I get it.
Yeah.
Wing.
we love our little jokes around here.
You can see on the top of the house, there's an iron rooster that points in the northern direction, so you never get lost when you're on my property. My property has a lot of shrubbery, a lot of mangled vines.
Now, Yash, do you ever see yourself maybe getting a job? Just to see what it's like, even?
Sure, sometimes I pretend that I'm a chicken.
That's not a job, Yash. That's a type of animal.
But they work, don't they? They work on farms and they produce eggs. And
you work on the farm. The man... Yash's chicken, Lil Biscuit.
Oh, Biscuit. Oh, Lil Biscuit. What would I do without you? Have all the tomatoes in the pot that you want.
Okay. All right, it's... Wait for this. It's This American Lie. I'm Ari Grass. Each week, you pick a theme and bring you a variety of stories on that theme. This week's theme, it did not work. Today's show in four acts. Act one, working on it. Grace and Vernon were PhD students working on a self-driving car. But they just couldn't get it to work right. Here's producer Tori Crevis with that story.
They were on the cusp of a breakthrough. They worshipped Elon Musk, Nikolai Tesla, and several other inventors ahead of them, or behind them, I should say. But Grace and Vern knew that if they wanted that next breakthrough in technology, they were going to have to give something up.
Basically, I like to put it in gear and just think that it's driving itself. Like, I put my hands around the wheel, and Vern knows I do this.
Oh, it's like in Fight Club, you know, the scene where he closes his eyes and he drives forward. Grace does this a lot. It's terrifying, but it's also
sometimes works. Yeah. It sometimes mm-hmm. works where if you're just going straight and the wheel doesn't have that torque to it,
long straight stretches,
then it's a self-driving vehicle.
Yeah.
What would happen if you were to, let's say, close your eyes or take your hands off the wheel? Would the car drive itself?
Right now we're working on the technology. Vern is very technical when it comes to this technology, and he knows.
Here's what you have to understand. We look at a car and we see a hunk of metal, and I don't look at a car and see a hunk of metal. I see
You just
pistons.
Said you look at a car and see a hunk of metal.
You look at a car and see a hunk of metal.
Oh.
I see a world, an intricate combination of pistons and fire and power. In a car, man is a god. And in the perfect car, God is dead.
What you have to understand is the campus of Massachusetts Institute of Technology is not one of quaint verandas or New England commons. It's a street fight. It's a gladiator arena of scientific achievement. Everyone here is out to kill everyone around them with their mind.
This is Dean of MIT, Brandon Trigonometry.
I changed my name to Trigonometry because there is no greater word in the human language.
Now, Brandon, how did this come to be? How did it get so cutthroat? I know a lot of people sacrifice things in order to get to the next breakthrough. I assume Grace and Vern will have to do the same. What have people given up in the past?
What people might not know about MIT is that the first precursor to the microchip was invented right on this campus.
It was called the macro chip at that point.
Interesting fact.
And the idea behind it was to take the human element out of things. A microchip was a perfect structure that allowed the entire idea of ones and zeros, of charge and no charge, to control. And I think that in our vision of our self-driving car, we are truly the successors of that idea.
If you come down with me into the bowels of the library, I'm going to show you something that most people have never seen.
Against my better judgment, I went down there with Mr. Trigonometry, and he did show me. What exactly am I looking at here?
This is the statue of the Greek god Mephistus.
Every day we pray to Mephistus.
And what is the significance of Mephistus, if I might ask?
Mephistus is the god. He's a forger. He's a creator. But he creates alone, and he creates horrible things.
Unlike the prissy Christian, Judeo-Christian gods, Mephistus is a god of blood.
Ah, so he...
A god of death.
Vern knows a lot about blood. He sometimes fills a bathtub full.
We're being recorded. There are things you don't say when we're being recorded.
I'm sorry.
I was stumbling onto something. Clearly, a sacrifice of some sort was occurring. Perhaps if I knew more about what Mephistus gave up, then I would find out what Grace and Vern were up to.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, it's not difficult. We're We're just trying to make this car drive itself and burn things that the blood of animals will help make the car drive itself. Mephistus told him himself. This is his sob.
Look, the story of Mephistus is very simple. Mephistus had a forge, and this forge just wasn't making things as good as the other gods, like Hephaestus. He was the bright, happy main face of making things, not like Mephistus.
What about Festivus?
A completely different thing.
Oh.
But Mephistus said, perhaps what my forge is missing is a soul. And so...
Hey, out of the road!
Hey, shut up! Shut up, okay? We're doing science!
Sorry.
I notice the car is moving rather slowly.
Well, this is part of it. We can't start off at full speed. That's part of it.
It's still learning. It's adapting. Because, well, you see, what Mephistus did to make his forge stronger was he took his own son. And he put him into the forge. He built him into the forge.
Now, I'm not willing to give birth to a son or daughter for Vern so that he can just kill our offspring.
Why in the left lane on the freeway, you idiot? The gods will punish you! They'll punish you! Eh, whatever.
Mr. Trigonometry, I've been around the school and I've seen disturbing things. Are you aware of all the sacrifices taking place and just the bloodshed?
Am I aware? Of course I'm aware.
So you mean to tell me that all the scientific breakthroughs and technology, the things we take for granted, the cell phone, the pocket fisherman, these things were born out of just horror that happened at
MIT? Are you familiar with the story of Galileo?
A bit.
It's a haunting tale.
Oh, there's more to it than looking at the stars?
Oh, of course. When Galileo discovered his theory of the universe, he was a heretic. And he was put to death. But he was right. And he came back and he haunted the shit out of those people in the church who thought that he was wrong.
It was clear that, Dean Trigonometry might have been in power for too long and things have gotten to his head. I went back to see Grace and Vern one last time to see if they finally cracked the case.
Oh, of course Dean Trigonometry knew. He was the one who first suggested we use a human brain instead of a microchip.
Hmm.
It wasn't easy to find. I have an uncle down at the morgue. The city morgue.
Oh, hey guys. There's this switch here that says autopilot.
Don't. Unless you want to...
No. Let him turn it.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps it's ready.
Are you sure, Vern?
Yes.
Here goes nothing.
What am I? What am I?
You are car.
No!
You are
no!
Car.
The car.
Now take me to the 7-Eleven. On Wilshire.
This life is horrible!
Vern, we can name him Sob.
Because he sobs. And is a sob.
And is a sob.
This is the beginning of what autonomous vehicles will be. I just don't know if it's a world I want to live in. Sure, I could take my hands off the wheel, read a book, touch myself a bit if I felt lonely. But what would I be giving up? What would we be giving up? I don't know if that's a world I want to live in.
Holy shit. That is really intense. Boy. I guess we're one step closer to self-driving cars. Up next, and there's American Lie. Not working in the coal mine. That's next on This American Lie. When our program continues, stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by Birthright. Have you taken your birthright yet? Birthright, where Jews meet other Jews. To get down. To make new Jews. New Jews. A product of Birthright.
Hello, this is Chad Foglin from Sequel Squeal. If you like listening to two jackasses talk about movies and sometimes give some kind of facts about them with a sometimes famous and otherwise awesome guest, then listen to the Sequel Squeal here on the Nerdist School Network.
This is American Lie, Myri Grass. Each week we pick a theme, bring writing stories on that theme. This week's theme, it did not work. We already heard one act. Now, act two, not working in the coal mine. Earlier this year, four coal miners got caught in a mine for 48 days with no food or water. Caught with them, producer Paulina Doggenstein, who was down there to do a story on canaries.
Well, wouldn't you know it, I just have an affinity for birds. Birds of all kinds, actually. But canaries happen to live 60 to 80 feet underground.
So this is a typical canary. We get about 24 of them per job, and we like to give them fun names. We like to name them after other animals because we just kind of think it's funny to call, like, a canary an elephant.
Yeah, this one's giraffe-y.
It's not a giraffe.
I know, it's a canary.
But it's a canary.
Oh, never gets
anyways,
old.
Yeah, we like to have fun down here in the coal mine, but we should probably get back to work.
These are the... Oh,
yeah, that happens all the time.
It happens. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Okay. All right.
Unless the canaries start dying, there's really nothing to worry about.
Oh, God. That sounds like a lot of...
All right. Maybe we should head back to...
Oh, shit, giraffe-y.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. The elevator's not working. Oh. Elevator's not working, guys. The switch. Check your radio.
Hello? Anybody? Can you hear us? Can you hear? We're in the mine. Is the main shaft closed? Is the main... God damn it, I'm not getting anything.
Oh my God, we're gonna die down here.
I was surrounded by these three brothers, the Nibby brothers, who had experience in mines.
We're gonna die.
Had no experience. This was their theme music that they liked to play when they got nervous.
Guys,
it's so much more joyful when we don't think we're gonna
die. I'm not scared, cause the theme music, boys.
Just close your eyes and listen to the jazzy drums.
We can dance like Daddy taught us.
A 5, 6. Seven, eight.
Wait, please don't tap dance. Please don't tap dance. It could cause another avalanche
of
sorts.
When you're in high pressure situations like this, tap dancing's sometimes all you got.
Yeah. Or we could just hold hands and pray.
Pray? Is praying gonna bring back the birds? Is praying gonna unbury us from this mine?
Well, it might. That's why religion exists.
Lady, we should just give up and send ourselves into the sweet, sweet afterlife with the dance our daddy taught us.
Well,
a 5, 6, okay. 7, 8.
I mean,
eight more canaries just died.
Oh,
oh,
oh
no.
A 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
This was a beautiful array of kicks and jazz hands that
Skibbidi-bobbidi-doo. Oh, we turned the music off.
I couldn't help. But
I was feeling it.
I was mesmerized. I'm mesmerized, guys. I'm sorry I suggested we pray. That was a silly suggestion.
No. If that gives you comfort, then by all means, do what you gotta do.
You just gotta understand, we miners, we're not really religious people, because I think all of us expect that if there was a hell, we would have hit it by now, you know?
But we're only 60 feet?
Here's the thing. When you go into a mine, you throw everything out the window.
Sometimes literally, mostly, like that first time.
There's no windows down below, so you gotta throw everything up. Before you go, because
there's no wind. Yeah,
there's no windows.
Because you're gonna miss your opportunity if you don't use a window on the surface.
Look, we've seen things. The Nibby brothers have seen things down here. There's a reason why we don't believe in God. Because, I mean, would God trap a poor man down here? And just crush his leg?
Would he kill all these beautiful birds?
Yeah, why would he kill the birds?
It's terrible. I don't know. I'm questioning my my choices in life right now, actually.
Well, hey, if there was a god and he was making such great things, would men need to make beautiful music like this?
That's right, it's a great point.
Hit it.
This is a slower song.
I was
You're confusing
unaware
me
that
about
there
your
were
choices
different.
Here, but you know what? We're the Nibby Brothers. So we're just gonna go with it.
Larry.
We're not gonna try to change or explain.
Philip.
We're the Nibby Brothers.
Is there
trapped
lyrics?
Underground. Okay. Canary's dead. Giraffe, we loved you, baby.
Ooh, we're the Nibby Brothers.
Nibby.
Coal mining underground.
Coal mining.
Nibby Brothers with a lovely producer lady who doesn't believe in God.
Scared, scared.
We're the Nibby fucking brothers.
Nibby. I gotta ask.
Sorry.
Thanks for.
Once the music plays, we can't help ourselves.
I can tell. I have to ask, is there family beyond just the three of you?
There was.
Yeah.
We had a little sister who didn't make it.
Mindy Nibby.
She didn't make it down here. I mean, she's up.
She's still alive, but she didn't make it into the business.
She's actually, she was going to be a coal miner, but turns out that her legs don't work as good as most people's legs, and we were like, it probably won't be very useful.
But she's wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
Do you think maybe, I don't know if cell phone service would work down here, but I'm just thinking about, you know, all angles.
Cell phones? Yeah, probably.
Can we call your sister and have her come? And
all right, so you don't understand. Part of being a coal miner is you don't need fancy things like cell phones, you know? We just have our two-way radio.
And a keyboard, and a three-piece drum set.
And an upright bass.
And a cool oboe. Sometimes we play it, sometimes we don't.
Oh, man, I haven't been playing that bass nearly as much as I should.
I'd really like to get back up to where there's air and, you know, people other than you. Sorry, I'm enjoying your company.
Oh,
just
we take no offense. We're just happy that we got some...
We got someone down here with us.
Yeah, it's usually just us three, Nibby Brothers, Larry, Philip, and...
And honestly, you know...
And my name...
And Ethan.
Ethan.
Even though I love just having my brothers around, hell, ever since our last album dropped, I felt like our music's been stale, you know? And having someone new here in the coal mine, that's...
Is that helping?
Yeah, I mean, you're the first listener.
Why?
Outside of a coal mine.
I have connections, guys. I can make it happen for you, you know?
Oh, whoa.
That's great.
In the music industry and all. So if we can just get out of here.
Sure. How about I just get on this emergency line, the landline?
Okay,
call the base.
So you have an emergency phone down here.
Of course, what are we? We're not numbskulls.
Come on.
Do we look like idiots?
Good. Thank God.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, who's this?
Larry, tell them we're stuck.
Larry Nibby and the Nibby Brothers and nice lady from This American Lie.
Oh, yeah, from the coal mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's heard from you guys for like 2 months. What's going on?
Hey,
you
know
what? Has it been that long?
It's been a really long time, yeah.
2 months.
Well, we did play that one song, Cold in the Breeze, for 6 weeks straight.
I missed it? That's too bad.
Well, anyways, if someone could come down and get us.
Oh, y'all stuck?
We are.
Hey, you who's know
that?
What?
Oh, that's the
am I on speaker?
I just...
Can you tell me when I'm on speaker, please?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's
just proper etiquette.
It's just us here. We're sorry. We didn't mean to breach anything.
Yeah,
but
really
I was just going to say, could we get maybe 2 more days?
No, let's just...
Yeah, sure. I'll come down in 2 more days.
Oh,
2 more days feels
I'll
like
see you
nice.
In two.
That's plenty of time to
cut
a new album.
All right, buddies.
Hey, Phil, why don't you hit those beautiful ivories one more time?
Hey, why
like...
not?
Oh, bongos instead. Okay.
Hey.
It's always with Phil. We never know where he's going to play.
This keyboard's got a lot of settings.
I might as well get involved this time.
Hit it, nice lady.
Arriba!
Oh, she's one of us now.
Hey.
Oh, and you're stuck in a chord mine. You're trapped 60 feet below.
Nip it, brother!
Where to go? You got nowhere to go.
Arena!
Guys, look, look. Giraffe.
Giraffe's alive!
Oh my god.
Oh man!
An elephant too.
Hey! Good job, NIMBY brothers.
We did it. We did it.
Music has saved us.
And 2 days later, they were saved. Wow. That's a harrowing tale.
I can still hear the music in my head.
Well, we're playing it in the show.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're hearing.
Okay, good. Well, I thought I was going a little crazy.
Paulina, is it true that you went on to marry one of those NIMBYs?
Yes. Ethan and I had grown very fond of one another down in the coal mines. Can you turn off the music? Can you
sure,
just turn
yeah,
it
sorry.
Off a
okay.
little bit?
Yeah, here we go.
It's still a little traumatizing, but...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I had a good time once I knew we were going to be saved, but the whole adventure was a little much for me. Ethan understood, and we're now together.
Oh, it seemed like you were leaning up to that you... We're apart.
Well, no, we're now together.
Okay, after you work through your
after
issues.
After we work through the
issues. Well,
issue.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't want to be taking the elevator anymore.
Okay. Well, luckily we have a back staircase.
Yeah.
So you can just use
it's
that?
Just, okay. Just okay. 28 floors. 28 floors is a lot.
Yeah.
So if we
well, nothing we can really do about
change
that.
All right. Change all the right. location, maybe?
Nope.
Okay.
Up next on This American Lie, The Art of Not Working. That's next. And There's American Lie.
This American Lie is brought to you by pistachios, good for eating because they're nuts, and also for soliciting sex.
This American Lie, I'm Aaron Grassi. We make a theme. We're writing stories on that theme. This week's theme it did not work. Act 3: The Art of Not Working. A recent study by Horace Much has shown that traditional office workers do only about 2 hours of actual work a day. I found that to be true in our offices. Horace recorded his recent tour of the country advocating for the two-hour workday. Here's his story.
Americans on average spend more than 50 hours working. I should clarify, 50 hours at their job, their place of business, on their phone, sending emails, writing reports. But really, they're spending about 2 hours a week. I I apologize to the listener. I suffer from a stutter.
Oh, no.
I've tried to correct it, and we'll work through it. I started the study first in a small town called Jingle, Nebraska. The town is known for its booming internet web page design and also its index card factory. I wanted to study both places as sort of a litmus for old blue collar work and current millennial white collar work. You two have worked at Web Page Design Inc. for how many years?
Oh, yeah. What, 4.5 years at least
yeah.
for me.
Sounds about right for you.
Now,
yeah.
You were the first people that I came to study, and after my report was issued, your boss actually made some changes to your company. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'd say overall they were positive changes.
We were not let go, so that was
yeah,
that's pretty great.
I'm talking to Margaret Lira and James Shaughnessy.
James has the best, what would you call it, James, the background? You do a background on the web pages that just pops off the screen. It's like 3D or stuff. Or
yeah, I don't know if you remember those optical illusions from the 90s.
Magic where, eye.
Yeah, you cross your eyes and an image just kind of pops out. So we do that with various different images, you know, St. Paddy's Day, we do a shamrock, 4th of July, we have, you know, fireworks popping out at you. People really like it.
How would you say your quality of life has improved? Do you have time to spend more with your family or your pets?
Yeah. Yeah.
We do. Well, I go home after 20 minutes of working real hard.
He 20
has
minutes?
20 minute bursts of yeah. work.
The Pomodoro technique.
Yes.
We do 20 minutes.
Yes.
We take a 5 minute break. We do another 20. We take a 5 minute break.
I'm sorry. Are you stuttering?
No.
Okay.
We do another 20.
I would just like to know, because I am a stutterer.
Oh, my son has that. That's tough.
I thought maybe we were connecting. Continue.
We do another 20. We take a 5 minute break. Another 20. Then we take a 15 minute break.
Okay.
That's for lunch. We got to have lunch at some point during the day. Got to have 15 minutes for lunch, so.
But yeah, having those short breaks allows us to, it allows us to do.
I go on a bike ride.
Yeah.
I enjoy my bike. And sometimes I can get home real quick and then back.
Margaret. What you do in your personal time is none of my business.
Oh, I thought you were asking.
No.
That was.
I'm just glad that you have more time to do it. I want to know whether or not you are functioning at a higher rate than most Americans are. And it sounds like you are.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay, right there.
James.
Right there.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't want to admit it yet.
It's fine. We'll work through this off mic.
My son had the hardest time admitting his speech impediment, and I just said, rocks. You just got to let it out. You just got to say, hey, I have a speech impediment.
I've never heard rocks stutter.
You haven't?
No, he sounds like a perfectly normal boy to me.
That's weird.
No, he'd come up to me and be like, hey, James, how you doing? And I'd be like, fine.
Okay,
kid.
I'm going to fold my reports up. You.
No.
You two can. Okay, right there. Right there.
He doesn't want to admit it yet.
Tell me about the index card business.
Well, so I've been making index cards since I was 14.
How many hours were you working at the factory then?
So I think you were right about our factory. On average, people worked about 2 hours a day. But the thing that was different about this factory is I'd say all of us worked pretty much none. And then we had one guy whose name was Mario. And Mario worked constantly. Hmm. So on average,
right,
everybody worked about 2 hours a day.
Right.
Thanks to Mario. And since your book came out, we've reduced Mario's hours to 2 hours. And all the rest of us just work 2 hours but don't do anything. And company, it's kind of in shambles. Luckily, demand for index cards has gone down dramatically in the last 10, 15 years.
Hmm.
Latin has become less popular, and that was a real big source of people buying index cards for flashcards. Other languages, they do buy them. They do. But Latin, for some reason, was a big seller because they had lots of declensions and conjugations. And so we had to make lots of different sized cards. We found if we made smaller cards, people bought more because it got annoying if you had to write, like, ego propter hawk on one card, you know?
Well, Latin's kind of lost its charm, if you will.
I'm talking to Latin professor Moggle Magoo. I'm sorry, no, that...
No, what is that? You can't read your handwriting,
sorry,
huh?
I can't read it.
It's Michael. Yeah.
Michael.
Magoo.
Magoo,
yeah. Moggle's not a name. Yeah, Latin's kind of lost its charm because it's such a dead language and no one gives a shit anymore.
How many hours a week do you teach Latin?
None anymore.
Well, that's better than two.
It. Well, not if you want to try
efficiency.
And earn a living.
That is efficiency, but your quality of life has probably improved.
No, I've been put out of a job.
More time to spend with your family and or
pets. My family has left me.
What about your pets?
They took the pets.
You can always get new pets. I decided that my tour was a success. And visiting all the people that I had previously gave my art of not working speech to deserved a follow-up interview. I traveled north to Wisconsin, as far east as Omaha. No, I'm sorry. Again, my handwriting. Ohio. I also stutter in handwriting. I should let the listener know.
You know, my son had a speech therapist that helped out.
I'm fine. I'm fine now. I'm fine.
I can help.
Mom, stop telling people I had a stutter.
Are you rocks?
Rock.
Rock.
It's rock. I didn't have a stutter.
Let me ask you something, Rock.
Yeah.
How many hours do you work on homework?
Well, after your book, Do You Work? Not Much, came out, no one assigns us homework anymore.
Huzzah! Well, I guess the not working study worked. Kind of ironic.
Kind of ironic. Kind of ironic.
Yeah, you ironic. Just said ironic again, just slowly. Trying to... Are you okay?
I'll get through this.
Do you need a speech therapist? Or
I'm
can
fine.
Recommend one.
I'm fine. Look, I'm...
Damn it!
Are you okay? Horace, are you okay?
I'm a successful writer,
yeah.
Author,
yeah.
Bookmaker,
yes.
Book publisher,
yes.
Book printer.
And NPR producer.
And NPR producer.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
All right. Are you sure?
Is your elevator working? I saw a woman take the stairs.
It is. She's just scared of elevators because she was stuck in a coal mine for 48 days. It's fine. It's a long story.
That's too much time.
It's a long time. Up next on This American Lie, did it work? That's up next when our program continues. Stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by Delta. Delta, our planes don't fall apart. We still have all the parts.
This American Lie, Mark Gassi's making a theme, bringing our stories on that theme. This week's theme, it did not work. Our fourth and final act, did it work? You may know our producer, Sylvester Grogwest, as the famed Tuscaloosa test boy, the son of two scientists who used him as a guinea pig for human behavior experiments. We've all heard of him. Recently, Sylvester discovered the experiment's tapes. He takes us through those tapes now.
So the funniest thing about being the test boy, as they called me, is I didn't realize I was being tested on. You know, for me, it was just everyday life. Mom and Dad and Uncle Tandy, they showed up and they'd stick me with things. And that was just an average Christmas. You know, that was just how I lived. But listening back on it now, with everything I know and my extra limb, it really paints everything in a new light. So this was my 8th birthday.
Okay, Sly. Let's get in the tub.
That's my mom. She was a wonderful woman.
Let's get in the tub.
All right, levels are clear. Levels look clear.
I want to get in the tub, Mom. I'm going to be clean.
You're going to get clean. Good boy. Look at you.
I remember that tub because as soon as I stepped in, I could feel the burning. And
all right, we're at 20 watts. I don't know. We should probably go up a little more.
Is he going to be able to handle it?
Ooh, this is tingly water.
He's having fun.
Like
he's having
it?
Fun.
You like it?
Don't touch the metal rail there, son. Remember.
Okay. I don't want to get boo-boo railed.
No, we don't want that.
Right. So what my parents had been doing at this point was every night when I take my bath, they had increased the voltage in the water by a small amount. This had been going on for, I think they started this experiment when I was 4. It did eventually lead to severe hydrophobia, which actually is normally a term that means rabies, but I was just afraid of water. Because I assumed that water, or as I called it, I think it was tingly water. Yeah, I thought it was slowly going to kill me.
All right, Sly, you got this.
My heart feels funny.
Great, great, son. All right, Tandy? Tandy?
Yes?
Okay. Drop the mixture in the water, in the bath.
I pour it now.
All right. Uncle Tandy was a hunchback. In retrospect, very mad scientist variety. But at the time, he was just sort of like a friend, a companion. He could be the closest thing I had to a dog, except for that one time that they gave me a dog and made me kill it.
Sly, this isn't going to be like last time, okay?
Okay.
Tandy, give him knife now?
Yes. Son, this is a pig. This is a pig.
This is different.
This is different.
We could eat this.
It's cooking yummy dinner time.
I don't know if I want to kill the piggy.
Here you go. You take knife now.
Why does it have a human face?
Son, that's just a make-believe animal that you're thinking about. Too many bedtime stories for this
Seymour,
one.
Seymour, I told you shouldn't read him bedtime stories.
I told you you shouldn't put the human face.
What am I?
Okay, kill it now.
Kill it now. Do you see what happened?
Not like last time, right? Not like last time.
It felt better this time.
Yeah.
Tandy, lick up the blood.
Yes.
Tandy, go for it.
All right, this was a particularly fun experiment. So my parents spliced a pig with a local homeless man. And then, just to test where human empathy ended, they had me kill it. I was 9 and a half. It was, oh God, I want to say this was the first day of summer, and I remember that because I was planning on going to the beach, which is, I never actually went to a beach. They had a box they locked me in, and I was told that was a beach.
There's a pillow inside, if you want to go ahead and rest your head.
This pillow's hard.
Well, that's because
it's made of stone.
That's right.
I carved it with my fingernails.
Mom, there's something long in here. Long and moving.
Seymour?
Yes.
What's the long moving thing?
It's what we talked about.
I don't remember what we talked about.
It's the electrode the snake.
Oh.
It's wrapping around my neck.
Oh, good. Right.
It's like a fun necklace.
Current volts. At 30 watts.
How are you feeling, Sly?
Climbing.
Wow. It's like a tingling necklace.
Oh, okay.
You want to check the venom levels? If it's super venom yet?
We should.
I'll check it.
No, Tandy, no!
That was my last summer with Tandy. And that was, even though I'd murdered human-like animals, and I'd experienced loss directly, losing Tandy was probably the toughest emotional thing that happened to me. Especially since they then used Tandy's body parts just as, like, decoration and emotional
triggers.
All right,
we're just going to sew this on you. Don't move. Don't move, Sly.
I like my face.
And the little boy gets an extra eyeball.
I like my own face. I don't want Uncle Tandy's face.
Oh, but you're going to remember him forever now.
After this, we'll get you some ice cream cones. And by ice cream cones, I mean more tingle water.
When is Tandy going to come back and then stop being in my bad dreams?
If Mama's math is right, then yes.
Yes, I hope so. Now just hold still. You're moving a little bit too much.
Just staple it.
I'll staple it.
Oh, my hand.
Yeah, in a sense, Uncle Tandy did come back. Because when I was 28, I started manifesting dissociative identity disorder, and one of them was Uncle Tandy, which, for a lot of kids, that may have sounded like a bad thing, but for me, it was like having an old friend back.
I found this photo here, and I think this is the day of this recording. Your mother and I, we were the last experiment. Which was to make sure that you had evolved into what we had pictured from the start.
It's grotesque, but it's who I am, Dad. And I'm glad that despite everything that happened, we've managed to keep a solid relationship.
I'm happy, too. I mean, I love you. You're my son. You're my only son.
We made you.
We made you out of pieces of
things. It's so weird that you have that robot with Mom's voice.
Well, I miss her so much.
Me too, Dad.
And she wanted to evolve into something new and something more advanced.
He plugs me in at night.
Oh, I sure do.
Hey, Mom and Dad, just for old time's sake, you guys want to electrocute me in a bathtub?
I can't get near it, but yeah.
I'm the happiest father in the world.
Oh, it's my boy.
Tandy bear. Tandy bear.
It's the whole family's here. The whole family's here.
Wow. I think Sylvester Grockwest may have some things to still work through.
I don't know. I feel pretty good. You know what? I may not have had the regular home life that most people have, but hey, it sure wasn't boring.
Please don't look directly at me. It's really terrifying.
I don't see out of those eyes anyway.
Oh, God. I don't want to know what that means. This has been another episode of This American Lie. This American Lie is produced by Tori Krevis, Paulina Doggenstein, Horace Much, Sylvester Grogwest, Ari Grass, Jordan Pridgen, Brian Flynn, Ruthie Holmes, Dan Hemer, Micah Gordon, and of course, the big boss man, Mr. Tony Mantia, who found an interesting recipe at his dead grandparents' house.
We're the three nibble brothers.
Nibble.
Canary and giraffe.
Nibble brothers.
Stay tuned next month for more episodes of This American Lie. Thanks for listening.
The Nerdist School Network. For class and show information, visit nerdistschool.com.